Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
More Crash and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Do you find a measure of vindication for your kid?
Damn right. Belichick wanted him out the door, and last year he threw 56 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year.
Do you think that Tom feels the same way?
Damn right.
Those damn rights.
Damn right.
Know your damn rights. According to Tom Brady Sr., who was talking to Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston, Tommy Curran will be with us when he lands in Tampa. He's about to land in Tampa in the next 15 minutes or so. He will join us, boots on the ground in Tampa at 110.
Damn right.
Here with Gresh and Keefe. And some quick bad news for the Bucks. Antonio Brown's been put on the COVID list. So if he has two negative tests 24 hours apart, he could still play on Sunday because he is on the vaccinated.
Yes, and that is a massive game, by the way. I know it's only week three, but Bucks and Rams, to me, the two best teams in the NFC right now. That's going to be a good game.
Is it a bit of a trap game for Tampa? Is everybody going to be looking ahead? Because Lord knows, Thomas Edward Brady Sr. is looking ahead. And for those of you who maybe haven't heard what Tom Brady Sr. said, you heard him right there on the speaking for his son, by the way.
Yeah, but and I got to kind of fact check him a little bit. Like, Brady didn't throw 56 touchdowns last year. Even if you include the playoff touchdowns, I think it might have been 50.
What is he including? I was going to say, did he include preseason, maybe?
How absurd is that? He's
really tripling down on the hate, right?
The guy did throw 56 touchdowns. Like, no, he didn't. Just say he won a Super Bowl. It has just as much, maybe even more impact than the wrong stat.
And it's great that Tom Brady Sr. feels the redemption through the play of his child.
That's his boy.
The child at 44.
He's a 44-year-old father of three, for God's sake.
Exactly. Like,
come on.
But Tom Brady Sr. was in the mood to spit some hot fire. Here's what he... So that was on redemption. So here is what Sr. said on the coming back to New England and that feeling.
My feeling is that Tommy is extraordinarily appreciative of everything that happened during his New England career. And he's more than happy that he's moved on, because it was pretty obvious that the Patriot regime felt that it was time for him to move on. And frankly, it may well have been the perfect for Belichick to move on from him. On the other hand, I think the Tampa Bay Bucks are pretty happy that the decision was made in Foxborough that they didn't want to afford him or didn't want to keep him when his last contract came up.
I think it kind of confirms the theory that I had all along, that it was really Bill that was kind of done with Tom.
And, yeah. Damn right.
And if he wanted to keep him, because again, when it happened, people were pretty split on it, not just on whose side they were taking, but how it happened. And I remember taking plenty of calls being like, Brady, it was Brady's decision to leave. And you're like, yeah, I guess technically it was his decision. But when you're getting all the signs, you're not getting a multi-year deal, you're not getting the amount of money that you want, eventually you are going to make that decision. But somebody else kind of made the decision for you. And so even though I think it's silly to have a father of a 44-year-old man have to go on there and talk about his son and defend his kid and talk about the disrespect and all this other stuff, I also think what a lot of what Tom Brady Sr. said is true. Again, did he have to do it? He didn't have to go on there. But good for Curran, good for us. We're talking about it and all that other stuff. But just because he's telling the truth doesn't mean he needed to do this appearance.
Well, and isn't that really kind of where this conversation needs to go? Why
do it?
But no, not him, not Senior.
Got it.
Why hasn't Tom Brady just come out and said what his dad has just rolled out
say
to Tommy
Curran?
Right.
Say.
Just say it, brother.
Well, do you think it's
like,
one of those things where
he's not?
Like, he's trying to pretend like he's above it, even though he has his dad and Giselle and Jim Gray all kind of say things that he wants to say, but you can never pin it on Brady. And he even has little posts and, like, you got to read between the lines on his Instagram and read between the lines on the little videos that he makes. Like, what do you really mean? What do you really mean? And maybe he just thinks, well, you can never really put it on me.
Okay, but who would hold it against him? Right? Because isn't that what he would be afraid of?
Well,
it would
think
be
it's
the fallout.
It's a little Tom Petty to do it.
Okay, but he did leave, and there was a reason why he left.
And he's in a better spot now.
And he's in, yeah. At least he is in a spot that makes him happier.
No, he's in a better spot overall because if he's happy, if his wife's happy, and he's winning games, he's on a better team. Now, 5 years from now, different story, but guess what? Brady's probably not going to be playing in 5 years.
But he's also in an organization that listens to him, and I think point in his life, regardless of the people that are around him, I think what he wanted, what Brady wanted here, Tom Brady Jr. wanted here, was the organizational respect of maybe not defer to me, but get my opinion.
Close
and it doesn't
to be LeBron.
Sound. Whereas now in Tampa, if Tom Brady wants to, he can call Jason Light at 3:30 in the morning and say, hey, I'm hearing this guy's getting released tomorrow. We need to go get him.
100%. And I think LeBron James got what he wanted with Pat Riley, but not to the full extent. And it's also why he probably left
why
a couple
he
of
left.
Times.
Yeah.
Whereas Brady, clearly, not only is Brady not going to get that and didn't get that with Bill, it's almost the other way. Oh, you really like Welker? Well, he's gone. You really like Deion Branch? You really like Logan Mankins?
Yeah.
We're going to get rid of these
guys.
Do it
with Edelman.
We're gone. The Antonio Brown thing, a little bit dicier, obviously.
But did you feel like at that time that was the first piece of trying to placate of Bill Belichick?
Oh, the
trying to kind of placate Tom Brady a little bit in recognizing that, okay, you know, maybe this guy's got a point.
It might have actually been 18. It might have been 18 because I think they knew after 17, after losing to the Eagles the way that they did, no Malcolm Butler, Brady's pissed. 18, two first-round picks, offensive lineman, and running back. Right? So I think that is a – Belichick, we can go through the history, loves the defensive guys in the first round.
But that's also help for Tom.
No, that's my point.
Oh,
I'm,
I got
I'm saying
okay.
I'm saying it's to placate
so
Tom.
So saying
– that's even pre-Antonio
okay,
Brown. My point
right,
is
I got you.
Pre-Antonio Brown, after they lost to the Eagles, the next three first-round picks were running back, receiver, lineman. Now, you can argue if any of them can play. One's already gone, one should be gone, and one's always hurt. So, whatever. But the point is, they expected those guys to be good players. Didn't work. And then also, you probably got to go, like, Josh Gordon was another one that was sort of like an olive branch to Brady.
Ooh.
Like, look at this guy. Not a lot of teams are taking a chance on him, but look what he could be.
That's a good one.
And that's why when you go back to week two of 2019, it flies in the face of the argument that, they screwed Brady. They didn't give him anybody he wanted. At one point on the field was Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, Philip Dorsett, and James White. And you said, those five guys are as good as Brady has ever played with. Like that, the only thing you could compare it to was 07 with Moss, Stallworth, Welker, Watson, and I guess Maroney. Like that was probably the only thing you could really compare it to. Now, again, Gordon can't stay on the field. Antonio Brown has to get cut.
Right.
And it fell apart real quick. But they at least tried it, and then they even traded for Sanu. They traded a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu, who was awful. But there was reports out there that that's the guy that Brady wanted. So they at least tried. Now, you can argue none of it worked.
Well, they also shouldn't have put – if that was the guy Brady wanted, don't put him back as a punt returner then.
Yeah, well, that's
let
also,
him just play on offense with
right.
Tom. Yeah,
no,
they were complicit in their own demise.
But it did seem like they at least threw a few Hail Marys at the end. It wasn't just like, screw Tom. It wasn't like the Green Bay Packers where they're like, we're going to kind of knowingly not draft any players for you, Aaron Rodgers, except for your backup quarterback in the first round. Like, Aaron Rodgers probably got more disrespected these last couple of years than Brady did his last couple of years.
I could definitely buy that argument. I just keep coming back to Why is Tom Brady Jr. not willing to say these kinds of things on his own? Because, A, he would be talking about his personal feelings, right?
Right.
So that's within bounds. And it seems like there's this weird, like, unspoken kind of, hey, Bill, the secrets die with me. Will they die with you? Like, I wonder if Tom Brady will be much more willing to talk about this the way his father has to Tommy Kern, who'll join us in an hour, once Bill Belichick is no longer on this earth.
Maybe they're not playing anymore or coaching anymore.
But I'm not saying that anybody is going to croak anytime soon.
Okay,
but
yeah.
We do have to realize that Bill Belichick is a 70-year-old man.
Yes.
And at some point you would think that Tom Brady is going to be here when he isn't. And then are we going to get one side of a narrative, or it's, hey, he's taken all mine to the grave. I can now feel much more freely to talk about what I want to talk about, because Lord knows, like you said, Scratchy, Jim Gray.
Yeah, no,
there are other people that are speaking for Brady when Brady could just do it on his own. And by the way, nobody would hammer him.
But I don't think he has to, is what it comes down to, because he has all these people that all have massive platforms that it's out there. Like, think about all the books that have been written, all the articles that have been written, and now you have these different, whether it's a radio show, a podcast, or whatever, the Tom versus Time thing. Go back to Tom versus Time, which was in 2017. And yet, well, I guess technically 18.
There was unhappiness, but there wasn't the level of rhetoric like we're hearing from Tom Senior.
Because they hadn't broken off yet. It was just sort of, it was on its way to
That's fair.
But that's, again, you get the Giselle. He wants to feel appreciated. He wants to be respected and appreciated and all that stuff. And he wants to feel like he's liked. Like, oh my God, a 40-year-old person needs like that kind of, like coddling.
Well, you
like
know what, like, it is, maybe some of it was, look at what other organizations are doing for guys that are nowhere near my skill level. I mean, when you really think about it, Aaron Rodgers right now in Green Bay, I would think, is feeling a little bit the way Brady did here at the end, because it's about what you see other organizations go and do. Like, the Los Angeles Rams change quarterbacks like people change underwear. They got Stafford, you know what I mean? And then there are certain guys who get all of this offensive talent around them, and they couldn't hold a candle to Tom Brady or even Aaron Rodgers. And then there's that lack of communication with the front office of, are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that feels like the closest parallel to what Tom Brady went through here, except Aaron Rodgers is much more openly defiant letting everybody know what he's thinking.
But I also think there's a difference between, you know, I understand him being upset where he's like, I could play for two more years, three more years, and 2 years, $50 million. Not the highest paid quarterback in the league, but also not some bum, and I'm playing for incentives, and I'm not doing that. 2 years, $50 million, that at least shows me the level of respect. I don't need you to give me a hug and a kiss every day. At least that's what I hope for, right? Like, there's the, remember that one bit, Tom Brady was never named Patriot Player of the Week, and that really irked him. It's like, well, that, get over that part of it. But $50 million, that speaks volumes of how much they actually respect you, how they value you for the team, and it provides you a little bit of future. Like, all right, they do think you're going to be the first guy ever to be a 44-year-old quarterback and getting it done. Like, really, he should still be on the team making $25 million this year, and we're talking about what's he going to do next year.
Quickly, because we're getting to the phones at 617-779-7937. The 603 sent in a text, basically surmising his text, it was, if Tom lets his personal feelings known, it hurts his brand. Do you buy that?
I don't. I mean, he's got his dad doing interviews for him, right? Like, I don't...
Having his dad say this draws more of a visceral reaction along the lines of STFU than anything else.
He's also such a polarizing figure anyway. Like, again, the closest comparison is really to LeBron. Like, LeBron and Brady, if they say almost anything, immediately people are going to defend it and people are going to rip it.
Yes.
Like, no matter what. So I don't think it crushes his brand by any means.
I would agree. And if there's anybody who has goodwill built up to spit hot fire, ain't it Tom Brady? I don't get this. Maybe it's a preemptive strike for what's coming in the book. 617-779-7937. Bill in Holyoke with Gresh and Keefe talking Brady. Hi, Bill.
Hey, gentlemen, just curious your thoughts. What was more of a middle finger? Dane Duquette not signing Roger Clemens, then Clemens winning a couple Cy Young awards with Toronto, or the drafting a Garoppolo?
Oh,
wow.
Both
interesting,
yeah.
Bill.
Yeah, that is interesting. Of course, the problem with Good the job. Duquette one is it motivated Clemens on another team, whereas at least the Garoppolo draft pick, I think it definitely motivated Brady, and you got wins here. Like, that helped you. So that actually was like a stroke of genius, whereas Duquette was like pissed off Clemens, and it helped Clemens pad his what should be a Hall of Fame career, but he did it somewhere else.
It also arguably led Roger Clemens to join the growing crowd of alleged steroid users in Major League Baseball.
Maybe.
So it what motivated Roger Clemens? Wanting to be great? Or did he start to do some of that stuff because he was in spite and malice mode? And it's, oh, yeah, well, everybody else is cheating and you got rid of my ass. So now I'm going to do it and I'm going to stick it up yours.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was more of the kind of spite and malice from the Clemens end. And it was the, well everybody else is doing it, yeah. So why shouldn't I?
But I thought he was going to go in a different direction. Do you think Brady was more motivated by the Jimmy Garoppolo draft pick in 14 and Belichick's comments that night, or him not wanting him and him having to go? Like, was he more motivated this year in 2020 or last year in 2020 on a new team?
I think the motivation for Tom started with the drafting of Garoppolo, but it kicked into high gear when they traded Garoppolo. Because if you're in the mind of Tom Brady, I outlasted Bill's guy. Now I'm in control.
Yeah, but he could just kind of like coast at that point.
Well, but in theory, yes. But then it was, but for Brady, he thinks he wins the battle. And then there is the battle within himself. Like with Tom Brady, to me, Keith, I don't think there is any battle that he fights more than the expectations that he sets on himself. And to fuel that, it's you drafted Garoppolo, you don't pay me money, this guy got this fancy toy, how come I'm still trying to do it with, you know, an undrafted free agent running back, Gronk and Edelman?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I getting into the mind, I mean, it'd be great if Brady would talk about it and not send messages from Scratchy and Tom Sr.
He's going to add all the pieces together because he is, in a way, talking about it, just not his voice.
I know, which really bothers me. Because he can get away with it.
Yeah, he can just really say whatever he wants.
And do you think Bill would be pissed? Like, Tom Brady Jr. came out and said...
Well, it depends on what he says. Like, so what would he say? Is that Bill wanted me out of here?
True feelings in that... Well, here's... You know he would still massage it. I think it'd be along the lines of this. Even though I was performing well as a player, I didn't feel the respect that I think I should have gotten given all of the sacrifice. And then people say, well, what do you mean? And then it's, you know, whether it's personnel, whether it's, hey, I've done a lot, I'm the longest tenured guy. And by the way, you use me as the shining example of everything you want the New England Patriots to be, and you couldn't do X, Y, or Z. Because in reality, haven't we just done a lot of assuming as to why Tom Brady left? Was it as simple as he wanted money? Did Bill he was just done with him?
Well, there has been a lot of like sourced reports on it, right? So it's not, we haven't heard straight up from Brady, but you kind of connect all the dots about what the meetings were, what was actually offered to him, what wasn't offered to him, and all of that. So,
and by the way, because somebody's like, oh, you don't have any proof. Is it like Brady's old man is speaking for him while he answered questions?
No, just my opinion. My opinion seems like it.
Well, and if this were the first time.
A lot of we's in there, too.
I could buy that texture if this were the first time.
Oh.
This isn't even close to the first time that Senior has decided to speak on behalf of his son.
That is definitely true.
Let's go to Phil in Maine, our buddy Phil with Gresh and Keefe. Hello, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
Hey, you know, I don't think you can necessarily say the Patriots and not signing him is what motivates him. Because if you remember when he was drafted 199th, he told Bob Kraft that he was going to be the greatest draft he ever made. And I think that's what motivates Tom every year, is the fact that all these other teams throughout have passed on him. So every year he wants to be the best and he wants them to remember, hey, you passed on me. I do think that New England, in a sense, I think he always wanted to do everything and finish his career with New England. And obviously, we had somebody with a hair across their ass that decided that wasn't going to happen. you know, and that was a pretty stupid move. But, you know, I just think that Tom is, you know, obviously he's proven he's the greatest. And I think everybody that's bypassed him, people that talk about him, they are what motivates him. It's not necessarily just New England and Bill Belichick or this, you know, this hatred or competitiveness with him. It's just the fact that 199th, nobody picked him. We had the chance, we took it, and we benefited, and it's been great ever since.
So, Phil, I get what you're saying, but I would say over the course of 20 years, I'm sure the, oh, I was a sixth-round pick, kind of fades a little bit, right? And you can make the case, too, about how for how many years in a row he was the hardest-working guy in the offseason, the whole parking space thing and all that nonsense during camp. Like, he was that. Then he wasn't. Then he wasn't.
He hit the ceiling.
Right.
He knows he's great.
Yeah.
He shows up and does his thing.
And I'm sure even after he won his first three Super Bowls, I'm sure he's thinking to himself, oh, you know, I was the 199th pick. I'm like, okay. All right. You can use that for a while. But you do have to also find other stuff. It's such a long career. And then you're like, wait a minute. The guy who drafted me, 199th, that's the one guy who believed in me. And now he doesn't necessarily believe in me anymore. So I think you can always add stuff to your, you know, what motivates you.
Once you get three Super Bowls, you're thinking of four, five, six. Yeah. You could be the winningest quarterback in NFL history. Right. And I think you're right, which also gets me to thinking how much of Brady just wanting to play to 45 is really tied into the future branding of the TB12 brand.
I think most of it at this point.
I think so, too. You know, to your point on the changing, it's like changing goalposts almost. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, because he's outlasted. Unless you're like, oh, he wants to beat, you know, what, Bill Russell at this point? Like, I feel like the rings kind of speak for themselves. Like, he's lapping the field when it comes to other quarterbacks.
I do think with both guys, if Brady and Belichick had both at the end of 2019 said, nope, we're both going to pick up and retire, the narrative... Like, the narrative isn't really going to change. They're both cemented equally in NFL history with each other. I know for us, and I do think there are a lot of people who be like, well, can he get another one? But at the end of the day,
who, Tom
Belichick
or Bill?
Or you're like, really? You know, if they both ended up with just six and they both retired and walked away.
But then I think there would actually be an argument for like, who is more important, who is better at their job, and blah, blah, blah. But if it just ends with Brady with one more Super Bowl, it's pretty easy to count. And you're like, all right, Brady was better. Doesn't mean Bill wasn't the best coach. It just means like if you're picking
between
the two.
But that's what I mean. Like, best quarterback is going to be Tom Brady.
Yes.
There's nothing that's going to change the best coach in NFL history is Bill Belichick.
Yeah, not for me.
Right.
No, but if you're talking about the two and head-to-head, then it's obviously different.
Well, that's the thing. Isn't head-to-head manufactured in a lot of ways by, I think, really the people in New England, quite honestly? I know the Nationals talk about it, but aren't we the ones who are really hyper? Because if we said in Kansas City, who's the best quarterback?
They'd be Patrick Mahomes!
Right, exactly. And then people be like, okay, I got to give it to Brady. Right. And then, like, who's the best coach? Somebody will say, well, he might be a cheating Mo, but it's Bill Belichick. I don't know if those things are going to change. You're talking Brady with us at 617-779-7937. We're going to acknowledge that it is Julian Edelman Day on Sunday. We will get to that, but I know a lot of you want to talk about Tom Brady and Tom Brady Sr. And let me just ask you this. Do you wonder why Tom Brady Jr. just doesn't come out and say some of these things for himself, to unburden him? Because if his dad's saying it, is he really getting it off of his chest or off of his shoulders? We'll get to that, but first, here's Shimey's Ready to Trend.
Online or over the air, we don't care.
I have a crippling fear of snakes.
Just make us your new midday habit. Gresh and Keefe, WEEI.
How will you feel when you come to Gillette Stadium for that game?
Very nostalgic. That was our home for 20 years. The fans embraced Tommy, and the city embraced Tommy, and the team embraced Tommy for a while. And so when he comes home, it's going to be a real treat that he spent 20 years making his mark in Boston. We owe a lot to the Patriots and a lot to Boston. Damn rights.
That was Tom Brady Sr. with Tom E. Curran of NBCSportsBoston.com. Tom E., boots on the ground in Tampa. We'll talk with him at 1:10 coming up with Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Good afternoon to all our affiliates out there. 103.7 in Providence, Worcester, Springfield, Cape the Islands, Keene, New Hampshire, and, of course, up in Maine. Why can't Tom Brady just speak for himself? Like, what is the fear? His hand is stamped. He's the best ever. Who's going to hoot on him? 617-779-7937.
You know, part of it is, too, I think a lot of these guys that played on the Patriots are somehow brainwashed. And even when they leave the Patriots, they still have that Patriot mantra. Like, look, there's a million of them in the media, and most of them still don't say anything. Like, you're free. You're free from it. You're a retired player.
Run.
Let it run. Like, tell us everything. And they're like, well, you know, it is what it is. You're like, it's what it is, for God's sakes. So I don't know if some of that's just still, like, nobody's been with the Patriots longer than Tom Brady. So I wonder if part of that is still ingrained in him, like, you know, I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not gonna leave any kind of bulletin board material, or I'm not gonna do any of that kind of stuff. Because the fact that they also play each other week four is a different element this season than it was last season, right? I don't think anybody's thinking they're gonna play in the Super Bowl, but they have a matchup in 2 weeks, and I think, you know, Tom's not gonna really add any fuel to that fire.
All right, let's go to Steve in a truck with Gresham Keefe. Hi, Steve.
Hi guys, how you doing? And please don't take this the wrong way. You know, it's one I wanted to punch Mr. Hill in the face, okay? And because, you know, all they do is bash this guy. Listen, he's never going to come out and say anything on his own behalf like that. His father's his father. He's been doing this for years. So, I mean, if you think that, or anybody thinks that Tom told his father, they say they're crazy. They talk about loyalty. Well, yeah, he took less for years, but he got it back on the back end. I'll admit that. But you got to admit, Belichick should practice what he preaches. Highest paid coach, greatest of all time, making $25 million. But you want all your players to take less money. Why don't you do it also? I don't understand this narrative that they think, you know, they all kiss his ass. And then, and all the farm players, Rich is right, they're never going to say anything because they would have already spoken out about Malcolm Butler, which no one did. Don't tell me no one knows why, because they're... People know why he didn't play.
I don't think they do. Steve, I don't think people...
Come on, man. They're on that team. Someone had to know. And you know what? Mm-mm. That cost them a Super Bowl. I'm not saying he would have won it himself.
Well, you just said it cost them a Super Bowl, so you're saying that they would have won it, so...
I'm saying he might have made one or two plays.
I agree. They would have won. They would have won.
They could have won, okay?
Yeah, they would have won.
Yeah.
But they had 2 for 500 yards. And you know what else, please, Andy? I mean, he 12 for 505 yards, right? And the next year they win the Super Bowl, he's an MVP. And now you want him to sink for a supper. And you want to give him an incentive-laden contract, and you won't give him the 2 years. You know what? I would have told Belichick to go pound Sam, too. I'm sorry. The people in this area don't appreciate him. And I'm an older guy. I watched Ted Williams play. They used to give Ted Williams the finger. They don't appreciate talent here.
I disagree. I mean, come on, Steve. The thing that people here don't appreciate Tom Brady is hyperbolous. And just because people gave Ted Williams the finger, guess what Ted Williams did in his last at-bat? He gave the finger back to everybody. And by the way, that's what I'm looking for verbally from Tom Brady. If you feel like you want to peg someone the finger, then you're Tom Brady. You can say it.
Where I disagree with Steve is on the face. He's like, oh, like Tom Brady's dad just goes out there and does whatever he wants and says whatever he wants. Like, no, he talks with his son, and it's a lot of the answers are we, and a lot of like this, and like he's pretty sure how his son feels. It's not that, it's not the old, well, we haven't talked about it, but like, here's how I feel. It's none of that. And so I think he does clear it with Tom before he goes on there, because on the flip side, if the player Tom was really adamant that his dad not do this, you think his dad would still do this?
He would shut it down.
Wouldn't it be pretty easy to shut it down? Like, dad, no more of this. Like, no, you're not helping me. Or he's like, you know what? Why not? Go ahead. Go out there. You know how I feel. I'm comfortable with you saying how I feel. Let's get it out there. I'm not going to do it, but you can do it. So, again, maybe he didn't give him a script, but I'm sure they talked about it, and he wasn't surprised that he did it.
And the other thing, too, is the crafts are also a part of this in that nothing has ever leaked out about Bill Belichick's contract. Like Steve said, he made $25 million. Prove it.
Well,
like that's the thing.
He's the highest paid coach. That's what a lot of people
believe.
But
and that is true. But if, let's even say Bill Belichick was making $20 million a year.
Okay.
He's doing two jobs.
No,
he runs the, but to people, they just look at him as the coach.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a terrible argument anyway, because so if Bill takes less, what, can they buy more receivers? No, it's not, it doesn't affect the cap at all. Even though the cap is, you can manipulate it, and Bill's even said so. But what Bill makes as a coach or a GM doesn't impact the roster construction at all.
Absolutely so, not. Yeah, and I don't think players look at, they don't look at the, you know, how do we think that Aaron Rodgers being like, boy, that Brian Gutekunst is making half of the money that I am. You know what I mean? I don't think that gets in there.
It's as big of a deal.
Let's go to Paul in Rhode Island with Gresham. Keith, hi, Paul, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Great show as always.
Thank you.
I never call your show because it's tough to get through. But let's start with the basics. So he wins 6 Super Bowls, and his wife asks him, what else you need? He wins 7 Super Bowls, and she asks him, what do you need more? So you're going to tell me that his wife didn't have a word in why he left here?
So, definitely.
It wasn't just about.
No, I bet.
You tell me.
Yeah,
you tell me.
I think it was. I think it was a factor. I think she's a lot happier in Florida than she was up here in Massachusetts. And the whole thing about him last couple of years not going to OTA, spending more time with her family. Remember, that became a topic, and Giselle wanting to be around the kids more and that kind of thing. Definitely a factor. Anybody who's married knows that your spouse you're going to talk to about these major life decisions, like where you're going to live and how long you're going to do your job.
And I do think that she opened his eyes to the superstar world that is out there for people at his level. Again, we'd never seen a TB12 hat or anything branded to this guy until Giselle came into his life.
She's
and that's not, that's not a criticism.
No, are you kidding me? Like, think about how much more money that has led to.
And she is going to be the one, like, I would expect her to be spitting more hot fire than Tom Brady Sr. Because when Tom Brady goes home at night, who does he whisper the sweet nothings to? And who's the person
Alex
that's going to hear all of the bitching that Tom Brady would have? All the grievances, like Giselle knows where the bodies are buried.
Right.
And she should.
And
most wives
do.
When I got let go of the other place, I was miserable. And you know what? For 5 years, I told my wife how I worked with a dink and an a-hole.
So that's why I should get on the podcast.
And, well, there you go.
Your,
instead
I'll
of my
wife,
dad,
I'll get your
call
dad
my
first,
wife.
And then I'll get your wife on there.
She'll get a little half bottle of wine in her. She'll be great.
Remember when Giselle went on the CBS show and was like, oh, yeah, Tom gets a lot of concussions. Yeah, we don't really talk about it, but we got a lot of concussions.
Right.
They're like, concussions? We're like, wait a minute. I knew he hurt his knee, I knew his shoulders hurt, but so yeah, she knows everything. And she was a bit of a voice piece during the Tom V. Time Facebook documentary, but that was also 2-3 years before he even left New England, so you know she has even more to say.
Absolutely. Tom in Maine on Tom Brady with Gresham Keefe. Go ahead, Tom in Maine.
Hey guys, two things. One, do we really think that what motivated Brady when he was a 23-year-old coming out of Michigan is the same thing that motivates Tom Brady, the 44-year-old who's been married to a supermodel for 10 years and living that lifestyle? I really don't think so. And I just think that,
all right, we're kind of losing you there, Tom.
I think we lost Tom, unfortunately.
But I get your point. That's what I was trying to tell the other caller, is that I think, I'm a 6th-round pick and nobody thought I could do it. Yeah, that's great for a while. And then from there, I think it could sort of morph into, oh, they drafted Garoppolo. Oh, they didn't want me. Oh, they didn't want this. And the other thing I wanted to circle back to is you mentioned the crafts part in this.
Yep.
And the one thing that I really didn't like was one of the first interviews that Robert did after the fact. And he said that, well, if Tom wanted to be here, he'd be here. I'm like, man, that is so disingenuous. It's like, hey, Gresh, you can stay here at EEI as long as you want. If you make like $1 a day,
there you go.
Like, you can be here forever.
Wait,
a lifetime deal. Like $1. You're going to do like, you know, Saturday nights, and it's going to be for $2. But you're here. I mean, you why do you want to leave there?
Oh, so it's like being on CBS Sports Radio then.
Yeah, you get that shift, but it's localized. But like, I mean, that's not true. If Brady wanted to be here, what is he going to play for? The Cam Newton contract? Is that fair?
Well, when you're an owner and for 20 years, a guy, let's just call it what, you might not like the phrase, but he monetarily genuflex to the thoughts of the organization and has done it for such a long period of time. At what point as an employer do you think, well, this is the way the guy is, and oh, but he changed on me.
But the big,
or was that just
was,
protecting Bill?
So yeah, I think it's a little bit of protecting Bill. I also think it's a little overplayed how much of a haircut he played for. The dude made money.
He did.
The dude made money. And also, they would always, sign extensions the year before he even was in the walk year. Mm-hmm. And so that's a massive difference, too. They're like, wait a minute, so you want me to play out my contract now? Like, what is this? I haven't done this in 20 years.
Right.
So if you want to play the, well, this is how they used to negotiate deals, you can really go on both sides.
Let's go to David in the car on Brady's Motivation Aggression. Keith, go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. You know, the Patriots are running a business. There's a lot of emotion in this argument, but the Patriots are running a business, and for years, the three of them were symbiotic. When Brady won his third Super Bowl and was not labeled the GOAT yet, he stayed with the plan. When he became the GOAT after six, like Michael Jordan, if you watch the Jordan special, what are the things that motivated them? A lot of people who looked at them and didn't just understand them realized later their greatness. They were motivated differently than everyone else. Tom Brady worked with Kraft and Belichick, and they had a perfect business model. And it lasted for six Super Bowls in 20 years. They didn't blow up the salary structure for Tom. He got paid well. He got paid well, and the model worked. I wonder how Tom would be if Guerrero and TB12 decided to change the way he did business with Tom. How Giselle's personal assistants, if they want to change the way they do business, how do they run their businesses where they're the ones in charge? Because the Patriots have run a perfect business model, and they've had more success than most any other franchise in the history of sports, and he's the one who tried to change that model.
But you could also make the argument that the reason why they had the most success was because they had the player. Because, again, they all were working together, but they all don't have equal jobs. Like, one guy owns the team. One guy coaches the team. One guy's actually on the field playing. So if you have to sort of move and adapt a little bit, then maybe you have to do that for the star player in this situation.
Unless the Crafts view Bill as the reason why their franchise is now valued at, what, $5 billion.
So,
and that's a part of the reason why you hide the money that you're paying Bill, because you don't want to overturn that part of your business structure. And it took Tom Brady 18 years to, in their mind, to be in a position to challenge it. Because I think if you got Robert Kraft on the Truth-O-Meter,
yeah,
Tom Brady helped them get to where they are. But the fact that Bill Belichick came here, it changed their franchise from top to bottom, including Bill's thoughts on managing the salary cap,
right,
which would not have come from either Robert or Jonathan, in my opinion.
No, that part's true. And I also think the argument's slightly different when you look at after 20 years, if it was going to break up and you had to commit to one, the smart choice was Bill, just because of how many more years he could do it versus how many more years Tom could do it. I guess the argument would be, could you have figured out a way to have Tom Brady play his final three seasons here, and then you have Bill for a couple seasons without Tom,
right,
and then eventually you're replacing both of them?
And as we started the conversation today as well, in talking about the comments of Tom Brady Sr., Tom Brady has also outlasted the expiration date on the milk carton by probably 5 years.
Yeah, I would say so. He's outlasted everybody.
Julian Edelman Day is on Sunday, but we're talking Tom Brady right now. We're going to continue to do that with you. Will Tom Brady ever speak for himself? We will go to Tampa and talk to Tom E. Curran, who talked to Thomas E. Brady Sr. That's all around the way.
Make sure to keep Gresh and Keefe a part of your routine.
A wizard with the stick.
And if you miss a show, download the podcast at weei.com.
Hey, don't forget, get your three T's in. Of course, three T's, among the many ways you can contribute to this show via text 37937, on Twitter at Gresh Keefe, and in the Twitch chat, weei.com/watch. You pop that up, you watch us do the show. Shime is on that Twitch chat. If you got some comments, get them in. In 20 minutes, we go to Tampa to talk to Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston. He had the big interview with Tom Brady Sr. You've heard what he said. We're talking about it with you at 617-779-7937. Let's go all the way out to California. Darren is in California with Gresh and Keefe. What's up, D?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Great to talk to you. It is sunny out here in California and still morning. I just wanted to talk about Tom Sr. First of all, he definitely needs to STFU. He would be nothing without his son's fame.
Damn right.
I'm there on that. And then as far as Tom, with his comment, this is, I've been in California for 9 years, born and raised in California. Went to URI, Gresh, so
there
hi to
go.
My lovely friend there.
You're lightly and, educated like me, yeah. Friend. That's a good thing.
Yeah, the five-year plan was good.
Yep.
It's a typical way that Californians here, I've discovered, they are so passive-aggressive. He doesn't have the nads to actually speak for himself. Now, do I think he will? I think a lot of callers have made a great point where he doesn't want to destroy his brand, but I don't know. I see it every day here. So
that's an interesting point, Darren. I hadn't thought of that.
Guys.
Thank you, Darren.
He's been here a long time, but he's not truly an East Coast guy. Because if you're from Boston, New York, or Philly, you're going to tell somebody how you feel.
Are you saying we're a-holes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the nicest compliment you can say about
Guilty.
Somebody. Yes. But you're honest and you can't help yourself. So maybe there is a little bit of the California guy still in him. That could be.
That's a value. I didn't think of that. Maybe it's just a part of the upbringing that.
I think it's the combination, though. I think it's the combination, though, too, between that and just being on the Patriots for so long, where even though Brady has, over the last, say, 5 years, kind of branched out, done more of the social media stuff, done a little bit more of, like, the self-promoting, he still isn't going to say anything, especially about an opponent. Now, again, if they didn't have this, the Patriots on the schedule this year, maybe things are a little bit different.
Do you think week five, then, he spits hot fire?
I don't, but there's a much better chance of it happening then than between now and then.
I got to tell you, what Darren brought up.
You like that?
I hadn't thought about that either. I hadn't thought about it. That's a pretty good point right there. Let's go to Bill in Framingham, Aggression Keefe. Hi, Billy.
Hey, guys. What I'd like to say is I've been around since the beginning, since Jim Nantz played at Fenway Park. And what Tom Brady brought to this team was a notoriety that they had never experienced before. And I think they're responsible for divorces because people didn't do anything on Sunday. They didn't apple pick. They didn't pumpkin pick or leave rake. They made sure they watched Tom Brady play football. And Bill Belichick has robbed us of his last great years doing that. And the team he has now is mediocre. They have no star power. I could care less. They have Mac Jones. Good. He's a young guy who throws short underneath against cruddy teams. No wide receivers, but Brady was the guy, and Belichick robbed us of that. And I hope when Tampa Bay comes here, they crush New England. That's it.
Well, they probably will, Bill.
Bill spins some hot fire there. He's all salty at Bill, but yeah, I think you get to a point to where the organization is the star. For example, we still talk about the Raiders and the Cowboys and the Steelers.
Yeah, you think the Patriots are on their
right?
Yep. I mean, I know they've been more successful in this 20-year run. That's probably true. But the thing with them is,
you know why? Just quickly,
yeah.
2 decades. You have, like, again, I have a 19 and a 16-year-old,
right?
And all those kids have known is really good New England Patriots football. And
that's true.
My oldest is much more of a diehard because he's into football more and he likes to gamble and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the 16-year-old, it took him a while, but like he was, I want to go to the Super Bowl too.
Well,
and he
was
a kid and he was like, okay, I guess the little one wants to go. And he went along and like,
but so the
you start to get hooked.
Even though it was 20 years, it was still Brady and Belichick. And I'm not trying to disrespect Ty Law and those guys, but it's those two. Whereas I think the whole Cowboys thing, it's way more old school, don't get me wrong, but it's like Roger Staubach, a little bit of a break, Troy Aikman, different coaches in that time. Like, the Chicago Bulls had a ton of success, but they're never going to be the Lakers or the Celtics, and part of that, I think, is they were only good with Jordan. It was a burst, and they were awesome with Jordan, but it's more of a, how do you feel about the Jordan, not the Bulls? And I wonder if the Patriots, as much as the team success is there, is it still going to be looked at as a Brady-Belichick thing? And that's why I think around the league, there's still buzz about them because of Belichick. But when Belichick moves on, I don't know if it's going to be the same thing that you get with the Steelers, the Cowboys, and I guess the Raiders.
Yeah, I guess the thing for me is that with the Cowboys, they're so popular, you still talk about them because they can't get it right.
Yeah.
And even the Steelers, you know, look, 3 head coaches in like, 50 years. You had Noel, you had Cowher, you had Tomlin. That's it.
Yeah.
Here, could it be the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
You had Bill for such a long period of time. whomever's next, if they have a decade run and he's connected to Belichick, then you still have that, you know, stink on someone, quote unquote, to be able to continue the good vibes and the good feelings and the good thoughts. Mm-hmm. Very interesting stuff on Tom Brady. And get ready, folks, because it is going to crank up next week. We're going to be hearing from... We're going to be hearing from like third string long snappers that were in camp and everybody had a quick brush with Tom Brady as a New England Patriot. Yeah, what do you got?
Quick NFL breaking news. Jump in here. Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback for the Bears this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, Andy Dalton dealing with whatever he's got. His knee, I guess. So.
18 of 33, 172 touchdowns, and three interceptions. Stop there we it. Go, Sean.
Light the world on fire. I'm with you, Sean.
Mark that down. Coming up. Bill Belichick did something that Rich Keefe said yesterday he was going to do relative to Jameis Winston. You want to find out what that is. And Tommy Curran in Tampa next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.